This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:35 and you're with Julian Ng, myself, and also Ibrahim Sunny. And we're going to talk business now. Ibrahim, what is on the agenda today?
So we got Noble Group, we got Air Asia, as well as governments trying to sell over bitcoins.
Oh, right. Okay. Now, the Noble Group one is interesting because this is a very embattled company whose share price has gone to almost nothing in the past year. And yesterday, the CEO quit. And this is a very surprise move. He was an outsider from Goldman Sachs and he was brought in to turn things around, but he quit yesterday.
Yeah, so in his stead is a co-CEO assignment between the president of Noble Group, William Randall, as well as the global head of oils, Jeff Fraze. So it's going to be a co-CEO taking over Yusuf Ali Reza.
So this is not necessarily a good thing, right? Because you have an outsider coming in and now quitting for family reasons, right? who's not within the company, and these co-CEOs are now who are insiders of the company taking over. Now, this is a company that has been very beleaguered by the debt problems, not to mention also the problems in the price crashes in the commodities sector, but also they've been accused of some dodgy accounting practices.
So Noble, you're right, Julian. Noble was accused in February last year by Iceberg Research of overstating its assets by billions of dollars, all of which these claims Noble has rejected. But since then, yeah, you're right, the price have plunged 75%. In fact, I pulled out the share price of Noble Group. Their share prices currently reflects their share prices, you know, somewhere around 2002, 2003 levels. So it didn't just plunge 75%. It plunged, you know, considerably, close to 90%. If you pull back, let's say, two decades ago.
Yeah, so this really reflects the kind of things that's happening in the commodity sector. But of course, recently, commodity prices have seen quite a bit of a run at the start of this year, I guess because of the weak US dollar.
Yeah.
And now the US dollar is going back up. It doesn't mean that the problems in the sector has been solved, because China is not consuming so much anymore and the replacement demand is hard to find these days. The growth is so weak all over the world. And all these commodity companies have borrowed so much and invested so much into capacity. You talk about the structural overcapacity in China. That's very much happening in the commodity companies world. People like Noble and Glencore, the debt has been downgraded by the ratings agencies, and they have a lot of debt. They have to really restructure.
You know, I just watched that movie, A Money Monster, last night. Just reminds me
no
so much.
No spoilers, please. No spoiler. I don't know anything about
it. I can tell you about the plot, at least.
That's a spoiler.
It talks so much about Noble Group, talks so much about Glencore. It's like, it's reminiscing of these two companies. But, you know, a quick review of the business in Singapore, and particularly Singapore Stock Exchange. You know, I mean, Noble Group is listed there. And over the recent weeks, we saw a lot of companies actually trying to exit SGX. And I think there is something that Singapore has to think about when it comes to listed companies there. I don't know whether it's losing its shine over there.
Well, I don't think that the Singapore Stock Exchange should be responsible for micro troubles of the company. And I think this all these departures are due to the company's fundamentals themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about departure, we're also seeing TalentCorp's CEO resign.
Yeah, that's right. So TalentCorp's CEO, Johan Merican, has resigned, or according to their press statement, has ended his secondment and now will return back to the EPU. He will become the deputy DG of EPU, and replacing him is the COO of TalentCorp, Shireen Shariza Bilgani, and she will resume her job tomorrow as the new CEO of TalentCorp.
So I guess the big question that the market would be asking right now is where Johan Merican is going to. And also what is going to be the future for Talent Corp, since their role is to attract a lot of talent into Malaysia to build the country.
Yeah, it's worth noting that Dato' Sri Wahid resigned from the EPU on Friday. I don't know whether this has any relations to that, whether or not Wahid resigning from EPU and Johan American is entering EPU, but it's just that the timing is so coincidental.
Yeah, you're so speculative, Ibrahim. But you're trying to put two and two together. On to the next news. There is some big move in the telecom sector over there. Over in the Philippines, the two main telecom firms over there have agreed to buy conglomerate San Miguel's Corp out of the sector. I guess San Miguel is a big company. They don't only make beers, but they are also in the telco sector.
Yeah, they're in everything right now. And the two main telecom companies will buy a San Miguel Corp for about $1.5 billion. And these two companies, they're trying to build and invest heavily in the internet service of Philippines. You know, it's worth noting that when you rank 22 Asian countries, Philippines is ranked 21st in terms of slow internet. So the only one that beat them is Afghanistan. So they're really, really, really slow.
Yeah, I think this internet speeds and internet access are like human rights. You know, this should be in the UN Charter for Human Rights, that if you have slow internet speed, it really curbs your education, not to mention your entertainment. A lot of people would want to, you know, go into the WhatsApp and the social media sites just to be entertained. But, you know, just to get one thing straight, these telcos are not actually buying into San Miguel, the main company, right? They're just buying into San Miguel telco assets.
Yeah, they're right. They're buying to San Miguel's telecoms unit in a 50-50 purchase. The two telcos, PLDT and Globe, will basically value the purchase at about $1.45 billion, and the pair will finance this deal on the San Miguel's telco unit via debt and asset sale.
Now, the new incoming president, Rodrigo Duterte, he is not pleased. He's very angry about what's going on in the local sector, and he's threatening to allow foreign firms to come into the Philippines. So, really whipping them into action.
Yeah, so they also want to look at how they want to spur Asia's fastest growing economies, because Duterte did mention in his run-up to this campaign and elections that he has to look at how to speed up this, you know, snail pace internet speed. And perhaps this is one of the reasons why this deal took place in the first place. I don't know whether Duterte actually had a hand in this. It's tough for us to prove in that manner. But following Duterte's pledge on actually boosting internet speed, this deal happened. So I guess people, the corporates are actually responding to Duterte's kind of campaign.
He gives the impression that he's a very tough guy. So a lot of the buck would stop at him. You know, he's giving sending that signal.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and that buck is sending a conflicting signal. However, because Philippines has strong antitrust laws in place, and right now this deal is currently at pending the Philippines Competitions Commission's Act, because the Philippines Competitions Commission said that in response to the deal's announcement, they have to look into the transaction because it might take up a sizable chunk of the market. And so I hope they can resolve this whole conflict between what the president wants versus the antitrust laws that are in place in Manila.
Now, I just want to go back to the countries with the highest internet speeds. At the top of the list is South Korea with 86 peak megabits per second, whereas average Mbps is about 20 and a half. That's amazing. Malaysia is just a quarter of that. Malaysia is a quarter of South Korea's speeds. And some of the other fast countries are also Hong Kong, Japan, Singapore, Taiwan. I guess you can make that correlation that if you want to progress economically, or you want to ensure that you achieve that high income nation target, you really have to supplement that by some kind of an internet policy.
Yeah, so this doesn't jive with the smartphone penetration rates, because Malaysia does have one of the highest smartphone penetration rates in the region. Every two persons out of three will have a smartphone, and that is rather high in Asia. Philippines, for instance, is 50% penetration. Vietnam, far less than that. So while we have fancy phones in our pockets, we don't have that fast internet speed to supplement the full potential of that phone.
And leading to a very frustrated country. Now, some of the fastest growing countries in the world today, Indonesia, Philippines, India, these are countries with internet speeds only one-tenth of that of Korea. So a lot to catch up on over there. Now, we'll be back with more business talk after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.